You are listening to a sermon by Heidi Epp, recorded on Sunday, April 28, 2024, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgrvic.org.
Good morning. My goodness. I'm getting little surprises after surprise. Nice to see that's my cousin over there. I do bring you greetings from Yarrow United Mennonite Church, where I'm a current member and attender and serve there in music and children's ministry, or a variety of ways where a smaller congregation. Oh my goodness, Barb and Dave too. Wow. How cool is that? And Sven and Laura, I say hello to you too. Sven was my pastor at Peace Mennonite when I attended. And yes, Zachary was my student, but I could say he much more a friend and my accompanist in children's choirs, many, many and providers as well, and of course Eric Krause. So I greet you all in the name of Christ and bring you greetings from our church. And I appreciate that you like concise sermons, and I will do my best. I'm not really a preacher, but I got two things against me. One, I'm a storyteller, and every detail is important to a storyteller, so I'm a lousy editor. And I'm an app. Neither one of those are short of words, but I will do my best. And I want to share with you today my story of how I ended up in the DRC and my work with the Peace Foundation there and the Peace Music Academy, and where music does play a huge role. So I'm going to try and let pictures tell as many of the words that I will leave out. So thank you for downloading them. I think, are you able to share those?
Yep,
they're there. Okay, you can see them. Okay, so there we go. We'll start, and I'll just cue you on to the next slide, if that's okay. All right. So I'm approached by someone on Facebook named Kendri Mustaki, and generally strange requests like that I ignore. However, I noticed that Kendri had done a stint with MCC and knew many common Mennonites that I knew and was friends with, so I thought, sure, okay, I'll talk with you. And it was really through my work through Bakerview Music Academy, which is an IL Sistema program that I'm the program director of in Abbotsford, which is giving full scholarships to families and students that are marginalized in the community, with the intent that a music and arts exposure can help bring some social justice change in the community. And so Kendri started asking me questions about this, because he, after doing his time in Burkina Faso with MCC, returned home and started the Peace Foundation and thereby the Peace Music Academy. Having no understanding of what an IL Sistema program was, he was creating that without knowing it. And the idea was that the music academy there was free to children in the community. A lot of them are orphans, or living on the street, or house surfing, and a way to bring relationship connection and build bridges. And all the teachers are volunteers. Most of them are amateur street musicians themselves. And so we were talking, and he, you know, finally he said, well, Heidi, we'll online sometime, the choir, and teach them. I said, yeah, sure. So one morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call. Of course, I'm sleeping, and I'm assuming it's family or something, because nobody calls at 5 a.m. So I answer the phone, and he goes, good morning, Heidi, are you ready? I'm like, what? And I look at my phone, and I realize I'm on video call, and there's a bunch of African children looking at me in bed. And I'm ever so grateful that I'm dressed. And all of a sudden Kendri's face pops in, and he's waving at me, and I'm like, Can you give me 5 minutes and I'll call you back? And sure, okay, hang up, go wash my face, try to comb my hair, call back and start teaching. And after some time, he called and said, Heidi, please, could you come? We need you to teach our teachers. We need you to help us train the teachers. And I'm like, this is the DRC. This is still towards the end of COVID. There, still tensions around that. And I think and I pray a lot. And my family's not excited about this idea at all. But I realized that if there was a window in my life, it was right when they asked for me to come that I could do this. And one morning in church, we're singing Oceans, and I'm like, there's my answer. And I knew I had to go. I knew very, very clearly. And so I made that decision and got on a plane and flew. I donated all my time and my expenses, of course, and helped to raise the funds for scholarships for the students to cover the local expenses there for the workshops. And I was invited to do two. One, the first week was workshops teaching the music teachers, and the second week was teaching leadership training with peace and conflict transformation. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that. So on we go. And I get on, I land finally in the Congo, and we can go to the next slide. And I take a boat, you land in Goma, and then you take a 2-hour high-speed boat down to the other end of the lake, to South Kivu, where Bukavu is. And I'm in this little boat that takes about 50 people, and Kendry and my other escort, Moses, is outside, and I want some fresh air, so I go back there. I didn't realize there was all this military back there, but I'm out there, so there's now what, 10 African men who look at me like, what are you doing here? I pretend like I don't notice. And I just hang out. And so finally, he was the captain of the military guard that was on the boat, and he speaks some English, and he said, asked, like, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm here to teach music. And teaching skills to some music teachers in Bukavu. Oh, can you sing? I go, yeah, I can sing a little bit. And I said, can you sing? And he goes, oh, yes. So I started singing a Swahili song called Jambo. And the next thing you know, this military guard is singing with me. And his rifle, which you can see there, goes from here to down to eventually just leaning on the boat. And the song has disarmed the captain of the military without him even realizing it. And his posse that's over here are looking at him like, what are you doing? Anyway, so that was my first day. We can go on to the next slide. There I was welcomed by the Peace Foundation or members of the Peace Foundation. Each one of them are a gem and an interesting story to tell of details that I will move on from. But if you want to know, you can ask me at some point. And I meet them and we go into town and go into the next slide. And we go to visit the first offices of Peace Foundation. It's a little, they're part of the Adonai Menon, it's an MB church. This is upstairs. It's mostly like a what we would call a Canadian treehouse, but they've covered it with tarp. You'll see some of the actual walls and some other pictures. We'll go to the next slide. This is Kendry Mustaki is on your left, and this is Ushindi. Kendry is the founder and was my security guard and assistant through my whole thing. Of course, I'm planning everything online before I got there. Ushindi does all their high-tech stuff. He's very educated, and he's right now, he got a full scholarship. He's in London doing his master's in computer science. Yeah, that's another fascinating story, and he's really struggling with the culture shock and And yeah, there's so much to tell. How is people, how they treat each other once somebody makes it out of the city. And he goes, I don't think I can ever go back home. I'll never be able to go back. But they were my companions through thick and thin, and kept me entertained. This is what was at the Salt and Pepper restaurant, which is an East Indian food. And I introduced him to chai tea. And that was quite an impression, apparently. So the next slide, this is the actual teachers that I was teaching. We were in a peace conference room that was rented there. And I had brought some scarves, actually meaning to give them to Kendri's family. And all of a sudden, they found them and got them. So, but so much enthusiasm, so much joy, so much talent. I needed translation, but because music is so international, there's so much teaching I could do just through music. I it included some recorder, included oral literacy, visual literacy. The recorders was very entertaining. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So they still have them. I brought a bunch of recorders over so that they could share them with children there. Every day started with worship. And I wish I could have the time to show you some of the videos of that, which was just so profound and meaningful. And the sharing of those times. The next slide is just, that's me. Eugene was one of my translators, and I'm teaching about rhythm and how to read rhythm. The next slide is, so now you can see what the real upstairs of the church looks like. And I'd have to walk these, I don't know, planks that were sort of nailed together with branches to get up there. And this young woman is orphan. Her name is Joyce. Really gifted singer, and I could hear her. So there was a piece that I was teaching that was from Kenya, and it's a stacking melody, Oshe Ayo, which means we give thanks for the rising of the sun of every day. And I just pulled her out by her hands, and she followed me, and I sang her part for her, and she figured out real quick what I was trying to tell her to do, and she started singing this gorgeous descant solo above everyone else. And we built a very strong connection. And she happens to also to be, her mother was Kendri's cousin. So she's like a niece to him. And the next slide is actually a video. So this is myself with the children up in this rehearsal hall. And it's a video, it's a short video of them singing Jambo, which is the song that I sang to the guard on the boat.
Jambo.
So if you saw the brown door, that's the pastor's office.
Peace Foundation was the door right to the other side behind the kits. These were the women in the teacher classes of the music teachers, and they presented me with a dress that they had made for me without ever having meeting me. I don't know how they figured, and they came, and they were going to put it on me. I'm like, oh, this is not going to go well. I am going to look like a sausage trying to be skinned. Like, this is, but what, I can't say no. So anyway, they go and the dress fits me perfectly. How the heck did they do that? I don't know. But there we are. And so that was our, they had pre-planned without telling me a traditional dress day. And so all the women came in these beautiful clothes and the men came in wild suits. And so I asked, like, really, this is traditional Congolese dress? And they said, well, I don't think you'd want to see the more traditional Congolese. I'm like, you're right. You're right. Let's go with the suits. The next slide is coming into a joint concert. Oh, no, should be number 11. Yeah. It's okay. By the way, there we go. Was to have a big joint concert where there were several other adult choirs in the community that came. And one of them in particular was invited that you will get to hear. They are from, I'm going to just check so that I make sure I say it right. Anyway, the Banyam Mulenge tribe, I hope I've said it right. And they are a combination of the Rwandese and the Congolese, and they've been persecuted from both sides because of this. And there's been ongoing, it stems back to the genocide in the 90s, the Hutus and the, Tutsis and the Hutu. And so they really stay to themselves in the outside village. And Kendry, one of the Peace Foundation members, comes from that village, and they invited them to come. And I remember the morning he came running up the hill to my hotel. Heidi, you won't believe it. We invited them, and they said yes. It doesn't mean they'll come, but they said yes. Because they're a real target. Visually, they're a big target. So this is the children. You notice they dressed in Canadian colors into the concert of this joint concert that evening. And we can carry on to the next slide. And that's Kendry helping me find my way into the concert as well. And the next slide, the kids on stage. This is the Adonai Church, the MB Church that's there. And the next slide is a clip of Bukuru, who is a young man from that village, their choir that came. And this is just this is their calm version. So I'll let you have a little. the calm version. By the end of the concert, and this is that would be Sunday morning worship. Can you imagine if we had that Sunday morning? and at the end, so they were the final one, and all of a sudden, that choir, they're hopping up with one leg in the air, and they start coming down the stairs towards me. I'm like, oh, heaven help me. No. You're not thinking I'm going to do this, are you? And I can feel everyone on their feet behind me, and the chairs start to disappear, and all of a sudden, there's a child in each one of my hands, and they take me, and we're going. And like, what do? You walk on water. And to me, it was like a slice of heaven, because there was no divide. There was no divide between gender or age or tribe. And that was huge. To me, it looked like something that would be normal. It felt normal coming from the outside. I have no context, but I sure heard about it in the weeks to come, about how radical that was. And how transformative that was, that this choir came, and that the people had the courage, and that they were embraced and were in fellowship, in peace and in joy. It was, from all sides, a very radical experience, which I alone would not see. so from there, let's see. This is the leadership training. And so this is a workshop that I've designed. I've done it in many different situations. It's an artistic one that is about, the metaphor is that your life is like a canvas, and you paint on it, and God paints on it, and other people paint on it that you invite. And then there's people who paint on it that you don't invite, and you may like or not like what they paint, and how do we deal with that? And then sometimes there's the black mark, where trauma hits us. And so when they're off journaling, I go and wreck their artwork with some black mark, and I use oil pastel so you can't erase it. And then we deal with it. So I modified it for this setting and didn't know what I was all opening. Again, walking on water, unknowing the storms that were under my feet or to my side. And I just tried to stay true to what God's voice was calling me to do. I did not know, you can go to the next slide. These are students in workshop discussing the journey that they're on and sharing their stories with each other. And you can go to the next slide. There's more. And again, men and women actually learning together and sharing with each other. At one point, they refused to go for lunch. And these are people who don't get to eat. And they delayed lunch an entire hour. They would not, I could not get them to go until they finished interacting, because it was that important to them. On how we connect with each other and the stories of prejudice and judgment and how we're seen, how it affects the self-esteem. Even within the church was being shared. I thought, when I watched them, I thought they all knew each other. I only found out afterwards that only about 20% of them knew each other, and the rest were coming from all different areas and different villages. I can carry on. So that is Pastor Mbui on the left, and that's Kendry with him. That's the church he attends to. Anyone who knows the Michael Sharp story, a Mennonite, originally from Goshen, actually. Michael Sharp is the best friend of one of my dear friends, and he attended that church where Pastor Mbui is the head pastor, or the lead pastor. So he interviewed me for a good hour and a half on the phone before agreeing to have me come. I really respected his questions. And the next slide. So while I was there, I also agreed to go and visit some MCC sites. This was going into an agricultural teaching farm that MCC runs there. And then I also went into a refugee camp that MCC was part of facilitating. And you can go to the next slide. So this is another walk on water moment. The water was underneath. They all ran across. There were children from the village running across as like little goats. They looked at it and they looked at me and said, well, you know, we can just tell you about it. And I said, heck no, I'm crossing this bridge. Are you coming with me or not? And they looked at me and we made it. I made it alive. I figured I could swim if I fell, but there we go. The next slide. Look closely. I did not see what I caught until after the fact. But these boys, they make these, they're called a chukuru, and it's kind of like a bike. It has a big wheel and a small wheel and like a slanted scooter. So they push, you know, with their feet on the ground and get it going. And then it has a tall front and handles. And so they will go and help, like, you know, can I carry things for you? So they will load these things up with hundreds of pounds of stuff and use them to transport. And that might make them a dollar for the day to get some food. But this boy is really, you know, having to keep his pants on while he's trying to help keep this thing steady. Yeah, so there you go. And the next page, or the next slide, rather. So this is a little girl. You'll meet Moby. He is the lead teacher at the Peace Music Academy. And this is his little daughter, who I just had so much fun with. And was just a real spitfire. And I think the hope of change and transformation, and the young children that are going to grow up and help transform some of the traditions that are really oppressing the people and preventing them from moving forward. About a year ago, I found out she fell from where that rehearsal spot was because of those wood that I was sure I could fall from. But she's okay at this point. She was hospitalized for a while and she's doing well now. On the next slide, this is my farewell with the children from the Peace Music Academy. I had brought quilts made by the Dorcas Ruth Club at the Yarrow MB Church, and I had to pay a nice little bribe to the guy in the airport when I came through with them, because that's the way it works there. And but I gave each one a blessing, and we had a really great, meaningful time together. My children's choir here, actually, we did, before I went, we did an online exchange. So we met at Camp Squia, like my choir was at Squia, and then we did an online. So they sang for us, we sang for them. And then just this last March, we did it again for a second time in their new offices, which you'll see very shortly. The next slide. This is now the new offices that we've just got into in the last 2 months or 3 months. And this is on the rooftop where it's gated, it's large, it allows them to play, but also gives them room to dance, which is a big part of their music. And this is a praying of dedication. And that's Moby with the guitar there, the lead teacher. And the next one, there's Moby, the student becoming the teacher. So that's inside the offices, which you can see. That's the living room, actually. And that why they have a sink in the living room, I don't know. But and it has two bathrooms, bathrooms that most of those kids will have never seen one like that. It's actually a functioning toilet. And those they even have a rim on it. Most toilets don't have like a seat to sit on. You know, that's gone. I was very dehydrated there. I refuse to drink and go anywhere except my hotel room. And the next slide. Almost done here. So this is the Peace Music Academy now, just having fun. Moby's in the middle. Kendry was there for a visit. He's been doing some traveling between Tanzania and Bukavu. And the next one. They're learning their solfege. They're at the academy. So a universal language that all choirs can connect with and children can connect with. So we could play Name That Tune or sing each other's tunes using hand signs. And the last slide. So this is Lake Kivu, right outside my veranda at my hotel that I was in. And I'm overlooking this lake that has more water than you could possibly ever need to give clean, fresh water to the city of Bukavu and then some, and know that they don't have any clean water. And as I'm there, the first few days driving NGO after NGO after NGO, and I'm like, what are you accomplishing? Why is nothing changing? What does it take? And the conclusion I've come to is that we all need to walk on water. They do. We do. We need to walk with each other. And God calls us to meet and support the local people, because if you go through the government, you're only going to deal with corruption. And that's why you get nowhere. So working with the local people is definitely the way. And my question, I guess, for all of us would be, you know, this is a dramatic walk on water story, but God calls us out of the boat, probably on a daily basis in different ways. In small ways, whether it's a colleague at work, whether it's a community, whether it's some engagement in church to be engaged with the community. I think very much so of our Indigenous neighbors here, certainly in the Valley. That's a real need to build a trusting relationship there. And how do we do that? There's so much fear. There's so much misconception about what we might engage if we try. So what does it mean to risk loving beyond convenience, loving beyond practicality or even social approval? I didn't have, my family was quiet about it. I only found out about when I got back how mad they were that I went. And I can tell you, I had no fear going. I had no fear. I don't know why. I'm a musician and an entrepreneur. So I have a higher risk tolerance than many. That's innate. But I only got scared when I looked back and went, holy cow, what did I just do? There are so many of those things could go wrong, but nothing did, not a single thing. So if we listen for God's voice, when God says, you can come out of the boat, like, I think the thing is to focus. And I say this with my students all the time. When you're wanting to learn music, it's not about focusing where all the wrong notes are or the mistakes that you've made are. Focus on where you want to land. Where do you want to land? Where are you going? If Jesus is your focus, doesn't matter how big the ocean is or small the puddle is, then you keep your focus and you go and you move. You keep moving. Standing still is your most dangerous thing. Keep moving, keep practicing, keep searching. And it's amazing where God can take us, and the bridges that we can cross, the water that we can walk on, the relationships that can be formed, and transformation can happen like that concert. Just for me, it's singing. What is it for you? What's your bridge builder? That's mine. But what God has given you tools to build bridges with too. So if we all, you know, exchange our skills, is there anything that God can't help us to accomplish? And that would be my challenge for you, is where can we do this in individually, and where can we do this in community with each other? And the other thing that, you know, people often ask me, like, Heidi, why is your life so interesting? I'm like, well, I don't know. One, I love life. And two, I believe if you want to see God's miracles, you have to live like you need them. And then there they are. So thank you for having me. And thank you for being part of our faith community in Christ.